The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 50th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. I feel like this is the Sunday we should be doing the Messiah sing-along with the Malachi and Isaiah readings, but we will not. But the Isaiah passage that John quotes today, John the Baptist quotes in our gospel reading, struck me to my core. And for many of us, when we hear this passage, it brings to our mind the music from Handel's Messiah that we just heard our choir perform beautifully a few weeks back. And we were told of how the music follows the highs and the lows of the words, and the crooked is made straight and the straight crooked, and how the music imitates it. And it's all really great, but that was not what struck me at all. Just wanted to pass that on to you all. I like to teach. This passage actually struck me for a very different reason, and it made me stop and question just what was the preparation I was involved in for the coming of the Christ child. You see, we're in the season of Advent, and what are we to do in Advent? If you've read my Crossroads article, you know the word is prepare. We are to prepare, and as the prophet Isaiah says, John quoting the prophet Isaiah in the gospel today, prepare the way of the Lord. That is the season that we are in, and so in church, we light the candles on the Advent wreath. Good job, Conus Brothers. It's always good when you get a call out in the sermon and you aren't listening, but that's okay. We sang and read the service of lessons and carols to get the story in the forefront of our minds. We changed the altar hangings to blue because that is our color of Advent, and we use our Eucharistic prayer that reminds us that Jesus's incarnation, Jesus made human, Jesus Emmanuel with us. We do all of this preparation, and at home, I know you all have your Advent wreaths out and you can hardly wait to get home and light the second candle tonight, right? Mm-hmm. And alongside your Advent wreath, you have up your Advent tree. Actually, I really don't care. It's your Christmas tree. I'm fine with it. Put mine up last night. And you're probably maybe doing special baking or food preparations, and you're shopping and you're wrapping, or you're playing your favorite Christmas music. Yes, this sound familiar? And you might have a few lists that you're making. So in the middle of this busy season, which for priests, you're running the church side preparation and the personal preparation, so you know, a few things on my mind, I got a text from my friend over at the South Coast Interfaith Council, and she said, hey, this organization called Matthew 25 is organizing groups of religious people to go over to the border to the refugee camps in Tijuana. We need to go. Taking a day to go into Mexico was not on my preparation to-do list. Eat tamales? Yes. Go to Mexico to be God's presence to people who are in need? No, that was not on there. But as you know, as we as a congregation have talked about and have supported and have discussed the plight of political and economic refugees and asylees is one that continues to weigh on my heart and on my mind and is ever present in my prayers. And so I found last Tuesday to be an open day. And my Muslim friend Sara and I drove to Whittier because, you know, Whittier is on the way to Mexico. True. So we drove to Whittier to meet the other Christians, to caravan to Mexico. And our only goal was to be God's presence, to be God's ears, to be God's hands as best as we could. And so we parked in a city called Otay Mesa. How many of you have ever heard of Otay Mesa? Wow, a lot more of you have gone over the border than I have. We parked in Otay Mesa. We walked over the border. We met our contacts who put us in vans and drove us to a church where we were going to plan our activities and what we were going to do. And we learned that there was a measles outbreak in the new large refugee camp called El Baratal, which is an old theater and encampment. And so we couldn't go to the new refugee camp where most people were, and so we went to Benito Juarez, which you all saw on the news a week and a half ago as it flooded in the rain. It was a baseball field where 5,000 to 6,000 refugees were camped out. And you can only imagine what a downpour would do for the health conditions. The Mexican government convinced most of those 5,000 or 6,000 to move to El Baratal, where conditions were better, but further away from the border. And those who remained had been moved out of the stadium onto a barricaded street. So when we arrived, we couldn't take in the posters and the coloring and the face paints and all the things we planned to, because they wanted to move these people to our Baratal, so they did not want them to get anything good that would convince them to stay where they were. So we went in groups of four, empty-handed. And we were cautioned about touching people due to diseases that they were worried about. And so walking in with just myself, I wondered what was it I actually had to offer anybody. My Spanish, good enough I can still follow a conversation, but I can't get two words out of my mouth. And I was paired with those who are fully bilingual. I was wearing my collar and a stole, so I knew that people would know I was clergy. And let me be clear, this journey was not about policy and politics, though I'm happy to have that discussion another time. This journey was about showing up to the least of these, about being God's presence to those who literally have little more than hope to get them through the day. What I realized as I walked onto this street lined with tents and tarps, with people milling about, is that as the leader of St. Cross, I talk often about us being and about us building God's kingdom. And the only thing I could walk in there with was my feeble and humble attempt to be a person in that kingdom. I could not take money. I couldn't offer a job or papers. All I could do was be a presence to another human being and listen. And if I was lucky, I might get the opportunity to pray with them. And this is where the Isaiah passage came back to me. As I listened to the first man we met, he had left his home in Nicaragua because he had no work, no hope of work, and as he said, the corrupt government made his life impossible to live, much less find work. He walked for 45 days straight. He told us of being shot with rubber bullets at the border of Mexico, of shoes wearing out, and of his journey. And as he talked, all I could think of is that not just figuratively, but literally, his path had not been straight. He had walked through mountains and valleys and along crooked and rough roads. And that as I listened to them, God calls us to be the voice of compassion and love. That all I could do in that moment was offer a place of light and hope. That maybe, not probably, but maybe the next mountain would not be so high. Maybe the next valley would not be so low. And that no matter, in the eyes of God, this person is deserving of love and peace and joy and hope that we talk about each Sunday as we light those candles. Each and every person is as deserving of that as the next. This kingdom of God that I preach about, this kingdom of God that we seek, the kingdom of God that Jesus was born for, does not have refugees. It does not have governments that work for the government rather than for the people. And I bring that up because that whole list in the beginning of the Gospel of Luke reading today listed all the governors of the time. Because Luke is reminding us that Jesus is not about the rulers or the rules of our world. Jesus is about justice and equity, not equality, equity. Jesus is about everyone having job security and a home and nourishing food. And while I can't solve the problems that corrupt governments produce on my own or even in one day at an encampment in TJ, I can live out my faith and I can seek the dignity of every person I meet regardless of a label. I can prepare for Christ's coming by taking small but real steps to make someone else's life better. I can pray for Jose Antonio, Ramon and Luis by name. I can pray for Javier and Jorge, the two unaccompanied minors that one of the men was worried about as they had been separated as they tried to cross the border in a snake and rat infested tunnel. I can see these men as I stood and talked to them, and even now in my mind, as human beings that God created. And in that moment, not as a problem to be solved, but as a human to be loved, as that is what Jesus calls us to do. And as I stood there and at times felt useless and had my own moments of despair because by nature we all want to make it better, don't we? We all want to do something. We all want to give something. And yet in those moments I remembered the last line of Christina Rossetti's Christmas Carol poem that we sometimes sing. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise woman, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give him my heart. That is the essence, the foundation, the purpose for any and all preparation that we should be doing in Advent. Preparing a place in our hearts for Jesus, and more importantly, living the incarnation by giving our heart to one another. The best gift that we can give will never be a gift under the tree, although we are all about that. The best gift that any one of us can give another human being is our presence, our compassion, our love, our thirst for justice, and our desire to bring about God's kingdom, whereas the prophet Isaiah concludes today, to bring about God's kingdom where all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.